Martial Arts Movie Podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your balls.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
I can't pronounce that.
In the film, I hear many people pronouncing that name differently, so maybe it's just one of those things.
We're talking about Fearless today. let's not pretend like either one of us can speak Mandarin. Fearless, 2006's Jet Li's film. Directed by Yurani Yu. We kind of have a theme this month. We're doing Jet Li movies, but it's not based off of his birthday. It's not based off any anniversaries. It's just like, hey, we haven't done Jet Li in a while.
Well, my suggestion was last year during August, we covered Jet Li's Once Upon a Time in China movies. So I said, it's been a while since we covered a Jet Li movie. Why don't we just dedicate the whole month to him since we've been doing that this year anyway? So there you go. There's our theme, Jet Li movies.
Okay. All right. Good way to connect it all together again. Fearless. This is a movie that I've watched many times, many, many times throughout the years. It was something that I always thought was easy to put on, and even people weren't the biggest martial arts movie fans could still generally enjoy the film. That's why I always had it on, essentially. I actually haven't seen this movie in a while because, ever since we started doing this show. So I thought I would go back into it and, like, remember a lot of it, you know, and I do for the most part. But because I've seen it so many times, I noticed how I have more problems with it this time around. And maybe that's just me. I don't know, Zero. What about you? What's your personal story with this movie?
I saw this when it first came out, and I really enjoyed it. I thought as a movie, it was just good, entertaining, easy to sit through, good martial arts. I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I never watched it again just because for reasons. So rewatching it this time, I completely forgot there's a director's cut, and I watched the director's cut, which is an hour longer?
It's 40 minutes longer.
40 minutes longer. And so because I haven't seen the movie in such a long time, I remembered bits and pieces, but it felt like watching a brand new film because there's 40 additional minutes of stuff going on. But unlike you, I did enjoy the director's cut, but I do know and I do feel that it is a bit much. There is a lot of material added in there that kind of messes with the pacing a little bit.
Yeah, you watch both versions in preparation for this. I've only ever watched the original version many times over. Yes, that one I'm very familiar with, but today, for preparation for this, I watched the director's cut, all 2 hours and 20 minutes. And I can feel all 2 hours and 20 minutes of it, because there's a lot of the movie that doesn't, I don't know, like, it kind of ruined it for me. I don't remember the movie being so slow and like meandering at times. But I mean, that's obviously just my opinion. But like, I think even from my recollection, even the theatrical version, even that one has like moments where the movie kind of like slows to a crawl a little bit, but it never really detracts from the whole movie. And I say that even though I have problems with the director's cut, I say that with a grain of salt, because the movie as a whole still works. It just, I personally didn't really like the, all 40 extra minutes. I don't think it was absolutely necessary. But I don't know, Zero, what am I missing in the director's cut?
Well,
or, yeah.
So I rewatched the director's cut first, and it's been a while since I've seen that, so it was just like watching the movie brand new, completely new. And then tonight I rewatched the normal theatrical version, and when I rewatched it, I kept on thinking, wow, I'm not getting any sense of characters or any sense of emotion from this movie anymore. It works from a pacing standpoint, because the movie just breezes by. Everything goes by so quickly. And some of the character moments, some of the things where you really should be slowing down and getting the feeling of the repercussions of maybe the fights or the drama, that you have no chance to let any of that sink in the theatrical cut, because they're just, you know, they're just editing like as much as they can. They're going for pacing. They're just kind of breezing by, which is fine. Like I never noticed it when I first watched the movie. I never thought anything of it. But now that I watch both back to back, it feels like a shame that we cut out these personal moments in the film, because it adds a lot to it, in my opinion. I didn't realize how much I like Jet Li's performance in this movie.
I made a note of that too. It's funny that we think alike on that. Like his performance in the movie is pretty damn good, like, especially since he has a huge character arc in the halfway point of the movie, and he is essentially a different person by the end of the film.
That's what I love. It's a redemption story. It's also a huge range of emotion for him. I don't recall seeing him go through these many emotions in a movie. Yeah. I think one of my favorite films from him is Danny the Dog or Unleashed, because I like his acting in that movie a lot, and I think the fighting's pretty good. But I never recalled in like a Hong Kong or Chinese movie that he did where I thought anything of the acting, but here it's very, very clear he's acting. Like I loved it. I was just so surprised when I rewatched it, so I was actually really happy, even though in the director's cut, you are spending a little too much time with these characters. Like, I want a 2-hour cut of the director's cut. Like, I think sure. if we cut 20 minutes out, I think it might have been perfect for me.
Okay. So 40 is too much. 20 is just the right amount, you think?
Yeah, I think adding back some things, adding in some pacing, letting us just stew with certain, I guess, reactions that he's having to the drama and all that stuff, I think that would have been much better.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, I think we've been peeing around the bush. Let's talk about the story. Since we're talking about the performance, Jet Li does a great job here in terms of displaying a whole gamut of emotions and characterization, but, I mean, it would make more sense if we're talking about the actual story. The movie's kind of segments in three parts, but we'll just talk about the first part for now, because, like, that's basically what happens before we get into really spoiler territory. Jet Li plays, I was butchering his name earlier before, Hua Yuanjia. I don't know what that is in Cantonese, so I'm just gonna go off of that. He plays a folklorish character, you know, like this is also Qing Dynasty, like one of the big three, like main heroes at the time, like Wang Feihong is one of them.
But this is actually a real person, right?
He is also a real person. And supposedly so is Wang Feihong. Well, Wang Feihong is also real. Yeah. But anyways, Jet Li actually is famous for playing all three of them. I forget what the last one is. Feng Saiyo.
Feng Saiyo.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So Jet Li managed to play all three characters at one time or another. But yeah, he plays Huo Yuanjia, who, if anyone has watched Chinese Connection?
Fist of Legend and Fist of Fury.
I butchered that. Yes. The Fist of Legend. That is the character that Chen Zhen is master to. So, I mean, like, Chen Zhen's not real, but this character, this person, is actually based off of someone real. Anyways, the story is kind of like an origin story for him. He is basically just tearing up the he's basically the best fighter like out there, right? He's just proving his worth, and as he gets better and better, he gets a little bit more arrogant, and he's just being very reckless. He's also not actively partaking or helping out in the war efforts as Japan is invading, and then from, you know, there's a backdrop of all that that's going on in history. So, you know, he's kind of throwing all his money away, partying and gambling, and yeah, not like neglecting his family. And then something happens, and then the rest of the movie happens. It's really hard to talk about anymore without spoilers, but yeah, like it's basically, like you said before, a redemption story. Like, he starts off being incredibly unlikable, but as the movie goes along, he becomes, you can kind of see him develop over time. I don't know. Am I doing the general story enough service, or am I missing some story beats here?
Yeah, I would say so. He has like childhood friends that follow him throughout the movie. We get his relationship with his family, his father a little bit in the beginning, played by Colin Cho. Completely forgot about that.
Yep.
And then we get to see his life with his daughter. And then ultimately something in the middle happens. And he has to get humbled, and he has to learn to like forgive himself because of the tragedies that happened. It's stuff we've kind of seen before, but in the hands of a good actor, I think that's what really helped sell it for me, because we've been covering these movies lately where in the middle something bad happens. So the characters have their downfall, like the heroes have their low point, and then from there they have to get better martial arts to then ultimately defeat the villain. In this case, Jet Li is already extremely competent in martial arts, so he doesn't have his downfall and he doesn't need to get better. It's more on an emotional level, because he is not only he physically triumphed, but mentally and emotionally he was defeated for, you know, being spoiler free. So it's him at this low point, and you're just, you know, it's him just trying to get back up on his feet and then ultimately return, because he kind of exiles himself.
If any movie follows a three-act structure, and it's very obvious that it is a three-act structure, this is the movie that kind of follows that, and you can clearly see the lines being drawn.
Like, that's when they had the transitions into the next
movie. Like, all right, now we're in this area, and this is clear. Any scene in this area is the second act, and then anything after that is the third act. So my problem with the movie has always been the second act. This was based off of the original version, and I remember not liking that, you know, through the many times. I remember anytime I watched this movie, I would always skip the second act, because I would just get so bored. And I get it. There's a lot of, maybe the first time around, like I sat through it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But then anytime rewatching it, I would just kind of skip right through it. Like, it's fine. I kind of just want to go straight into act three, because that's like, I get it. Like, he's getting humbled.
Right.
I wouldn't mind just like kind of speeding this along. Watching the director's cut, I don't actually, because I haven't watched the original in a while, I don't know if they added or removed them some things, but boy, oh boy, it just felt like dragged.
They added a lot.
Ugh.
They did add a lot in that second part, which I feel some of it works really well, and then some of it could have easily been cut out.
I watching the director's cut didn't really help. I get it. I'm obviously a very character driven kind of person. Like, I very much gravitate towards strong characters. I think you and I both agree, but not at the sacrifice of pacing, and that's my big problem with the director's cut in the movie.
Well, so I can go into that second part a little bit, because I don't think it's really spoiling. Some of the things that they added on there was a side story with the little boy. So Jet Li, after kind of leaving his hometown and just like wandering the world, quote unquote, basically the countryside, he wakes up in a village, and he's kind of rehabilitating himself mentally. And there is this little boy who gets attached to an ox in the village, there's a side story of him not wanting the ox to die, but the ox is slowly dying. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is when the ox passes away, he goes to Thailand to steal a new ox, and all the villagers come to help him. And in, they don't say Thailand, but in the movie they say, oh, another village, but it's clearly Thailand.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're Thai fighters. Right. They're punishing him physically because he stole the ox, and gently says, no, let me endure the pain for him. And it ends up being a fight scene. It's between him and a Thai fighter, and all this stuff completely unnecessary. But it sucks because this extra fight scene, it's fine. It doesn't really do much for me personally. But the reason why it's kind of necessary for the director's cut, or at least in my opinion, it's kind of necessary, is because the children witness him fighting and they realize he can learn how to fight. So there's a very, very important scene, which unfortunately is not in a theatrical cut, where the children ask him, why can't you teach us martial arts? And he basically explains to them the cycle of violence that would happen if both kids want to learn martial arts and they keep on getting revenge on each other because they're trying to beat each other up. Very, very great moment, which I think kind of summarizes, like, you know, like, you know, philosophies on fighting and martial arts in general. But they had to cut that from the theatrical cut because where would those kids know that he learned martial arts? So
I get it. So like what does the theatrical cut do instead then? Because like that, I my only memory is the, like, right now is the director's cut. They just like, what, just go straight to, like, after that fight they're like, all right, see you guys, and Jet Li's back in town.
Yeah, so in the theatrical version where Jet Li is being rehabilitated in this small town, it's just him doing his stuff, like getting back with nature, learning to plant seeds in the water, and just interacting with that one female character. I believe her name was Moon. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the things that's kind of disappointing about the theatrical cut is you spend a lot more time with the characters in the director's cut for obvious reasons. So in that lull, like, there's no relationship there. They just talk. They get the main points across so the story can move along.
Oh, you know what? Yeah,
and like, he's like, all right, I gotta leave now, and that's it. She's sad he's leaving for Act Three, but you, in the director's cut, you know, you get to spend more time with them. It's still, you know, it's not the perfect romantic relationship, but at least you can bite a little more than director's cut, because there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there.
Yeah, and I do remember watching the original version, now that you mentioned it, that I always found the ending kind of weird. It's like, who are, like, we barely spent any time with you, like, or at least developing your relationship. I knew there would be like deleted scenes, and watching the director's cut, I'll give you that, it does seem like they've set up some sort of bonds that Jet Li and Moon share.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it, like, ultimately, do I want the move, like, Act Two to be shorter? Kind of, because like, even the regular version, I remember being very slow, right. And it was something that I kind of wouldn't have minded just like fast forwarding through.
Well, in the director's cut, in the first act, we get a lot more of them as kids. So it's Jet Li and then his childhood friend. There's a little more going on with their relationship. He gets beat up in the beginning of the movie by kids. And actually, in the director's cut, there's another fight scene where he beats the bully up again. Actually, I think the theatrical cut does it better, because he gets beaten in the beginning, and then when it cuts to him as an adult, we see that bully all grown up, and that feels nicer than him.
It's more cathartic, yeah.
Yeah, it feels better than him beating him up as a kid, and then we see him as an adult later, and they fight again. Like, that wasn't necessary. So that fight could have been cut out.
Yeah. It's funny, because that character that you just mentioned comes back later in the film, and I don't remember that being the original version. I think they were trying to, like, tie up loose ends, make Jet Li's character seem more humble and really trying to make sure there's no, he has no enemies going
yeah
forward.
He like make, I mean, it's almost like he's going through the 12-step program. He makes amends with basically everybody.
Has he found God?
I don't think so.
I'm gonna keep on harping the main idea, my main argument, which is yes, I do think that the director's cut's a little too indulgent for me, at least. There are some things that I do think that add a lot to the movie, but the thing that I really did not expect in the director's cut that I think that the theatrical did better is this they pulled an Assassin's Creed. They have to surround the story in a modern setting. So in the director's cut, it starts with Michelle Yeoh explaining the historical backdrop and everything, basically, in a dissertation, a seminar that she's doing for a whole bunch of people. And then we go into the world, and we go into the Qing Dynasty, and we meet Jet Li. Yes. And I was like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Why can't we just go straight into the story? Why do we need this backdrop that, like, it needs to be taught, like Michelle Yeoh explaining everything?
I agree, and that was completely unnecessary. I remember hearing when this movie first came out that there was deleted scenes with Michelle Yeoh, and I thought maybe she was a character that maybe just got cut out for reasons. I didn't know she was technically in present day giving a presentation to the Olympic committee about why they should accept wushu as a sport. Completely
exactly
unnecessary. Doesn't add anything to the movie. It should have just been a period piece film, because the present day happens in the very beginning of the movie with her presentation, and then at the end of the movie where a reporter's like, do you think they'll accept it? And she's like, we'll see. And
we'll
she winks at the camera, and then we get a star transition out.
You know, whenever they do that, like, I just half expect, like, oh, the character that was, like, part of the story to appear. So it'll be like, Michelle will be like, we'll see. And then you see, like, Jet Li in the background, like, as like, he's still alive for some reason. He just has a fedora and no one can recognize him.
It's like the modern day Jet Li going like,
Yeah, you get it? Oh, I'm still alive, guys. No, I thought that was really dumb. And, like, even in the director's cut, it's completely unnecessary. The whole thing should have totally just stayed a period piece, because, like, why bother? But oh man, we spent a lot of time on the story.
I can't tell. I know websites kind of do the differences between theatrical and director's cut, I think in the director's cut, or I think in the theatrical cut, I think we get cut fight scenes as well.
I'm not surprised.
Which is a shame, because what the theatrical cut does is in the end of the movie, Jet Li needs to fight four opponents. And what the theatrical cut does is it shows the three fights in the very beginning of the movie, and it actually cuts up a lot of the choreography.
I do remember that.
Which is a shame because I like some of those fights, like in the director's cut. Some of those fights, like the choreography on that, are really, really, really nice. Action directed by Yun Mo Ping. And so it's a shame because they almost gloss over it. And then at the end, you know, he still fights the Japanese fighter. I can understand why they did that if they really didn't shoot the fights. But they did. They are full-fledged fights, and they're cutting away from the action, which seems like something you generally don't do in any version.
Well, I mean, if they're trying to make it more palatable for a wide audience, you think that the action should be the last thing on the cutting
exactly,
block, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do remember that. Now that you brought it up, that like they took snippets from the last action segment to throw in the beginning to kind of like sandwich everything. I don't even think you need to do that. That's something I would give the director's cut a little bit more credit. Like, I everything works a little bit more linearly, minus the Michelle Yeoh backdrop. Like, that part of it, But if it weren't for that, yeah, like, it works pretty linearly. It's in chronological order, and it's fine. Like, there's action in the beginning, there's action at the end. You can say it's a sandwich, but I don't know. I really like the stuff that happens more early on in the movie rather than the end of the movie.
You mean in terms of the action?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that the end of the film, it felt more like fight vignettes. I mean, it's okay. The fights are good, but they're really short. The fight scenes themselves, whereas the earlier fights are a little bit more indulgent. They spend more time with the fights, especially when Jet Li is taking on Zhihui Chen.
Master Chen.
Master Chen, yes. But yeah, like the actor I was referring to. Yeah, when he's fighting Master Chen, like, that fight goes on for quite some time, and yes, that's also kind of a spectacle too. Whereas the later fights, it's a little shorter, and like, I don't know. It's still fine. It's just, like, I think that the earlier fights were a lot more interesting to me. Mm-hmm.
I like those last fights a lot. The final fight, understandably, needs to be a little more emotional. So in the second part of that fight, it's not about choreography anymore.
Yeah.
But
the
weapon stuff, I like all that. It's all the choreography is, like, almost perfect, in my opinion. I just wish it went on a little longer.
Sure.
And then we can elaborate more in the Patreon section. But one of the things that was kind of annoying for me is in that Master Chen fight in the middle of the movie. Did you notice that extremely choppy editing that was going on in there?
What part?
In the first half of the fight. So when he's fighting Master Chen, they're in the restaurant. They're in the moody lighting.
Yeah.
They're using the weapons.
Sure.
There's a lot of weird editing techniques they're using, or editing style, where they're cutting, and it feels like they are using footage. They're cutting this way because they don't have the complete footage. Like, they're putting together scenes because they didn't shoot it. But I don't think that's the case at all.
That's very interesting. I mean, yeah, like, we can definitely elaborate on that. Maybe I missed on it.
Yeah, it gets really, really choppy, which is a shame, because you can see camera work is fine, choreography is fine. Yuen Woo-ping in 2006, I'm liking his stuff at this point. But for some reason, the editing in that fight particular, in the beginning of it, is very jarring. I don't know why they did it this way.
I have my problems with that fight too, but I think they're definitely more broad strokes versus like specifically on the editing. And I definitely want to save that for the Patreon section, because I'll go in more depth with that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was gonna say one more thing. So Yuen Woo-ping, not afraid to use wires, and it works here for some of the, you know, the bigger moves, the bigger jumps.
Yeah.
I think my only problem with it was the first big fight, when he's fighting that childhood bully on top of the very large wooden I don't know what that is. Wooden pyre? No, not a pyre.
The stage?
Yeah, it's like stage. It's like an elevated wooden stage up to maybe two stories. They're fighting on top of it. And this is where the wire work doesn't work for me, because
definitely not.
They're trying to balance within the square, because if you fall off the square, you know, you'll fall to the ground. But when they're balancing on the edge, sometimes one character will throw another, and the trajectory doesn't work, because someone is clearly flying off the edge, but then wires will pull them back in. no, like, we can clearly see that you're, like, they're kind of arcing around. Like, I wish he designed the choreography to be a little more grounded at in that fight.
Grounded and Yuen Woo-ping. That's tricky, especially after Crouching Tiger was 2001. Oh, 2000. No, yeah. After 2000, like, especially after Crouching Tiger, like, you know, he has a signature now. So
right.
He's definitely got to gear towards more of that. But I mean, he can still do grounded work.
It's well, that's just, what I'm saying.
A lot of it will be grounded. A lot of it will be rooted in wire work.
Yes.
Now.
I mean, the last fights, they're all weapons. They're all on the stage. Perfectly grounded. Mm-hmm. They're not overdoing any wire work, except maybe for the bigger flips. So it's just kind of a shame because this one feels really out of place when I look at all the fights in the movie now. Like, why does this one have the most wire work to feel the most, you know, wuxia-ish when the rest of the movie feels a little more realistic?
Yeah. Wuxia is a good way to describe it. It does feel very wuxia-esque at times. It whenever those big moments happen where it seems like there's a bit too much wires going off to pull off some moves, it kind of takes me out of the movie because I feel like the movie doesn't necessarily need those. But that's definitely a preferential thing. I think that if you're not as picky as I am, you can definitely just like suspend your disbelief. I'm like, okay, whatever. But yeah, that was a note I definitely made for that same fight too. And I want to go more into detail with that too when we get to that segment, the action segment. Because like, yeah, the trajectories and some of the movements is kind of weird. Using the wires to make these performers do certain things, and like it just defies physics in a way that like it's distracting for me at least.
Yeah,
especially as an action fan. But like, yeah, I definitely want to talk more about it in the action segment. So I guess we'll go into the Patreon section. We're gonna talk more about spoilers. We're gonna talk about every fight. We're gonna go into the director's version of this. That way we can cover all our bases. Cover all the fights. I mean, as much as I don't like the director's cut, I do think that, you know, we get all the fighting in it, so like, might as well cover all that. And yeah, if you support us there, support us on Patreon, you'll also hear our next mini episode that we're currently releasing on a weekly basis. So yeah, I guess we'll go into the Patreon section now, right?
Sounds good.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts.
All right, so that's Fearless.
That was a long one because this was a long movie, 2 hours and 20 minutes. So,
and somehow we're still not going over the length of the director's cut, because that is a fucking long version. Okay, well, I'm gonna give the director's cut a little bit of credit. It's fine. I prefer the theatrical because of the run length and the pacing's better, but. But yeah, ultimately, like the director's cut's fine. It's just I think the movie in general, like whether regardless of what version you watch, it has pacing issues. But you know, like it, you spend a lot of time with the characters. It's very much a drama. First, and yeah, like that's that. I'm gonna try to like calm a lot of my complaints from earlier on, but Zero, what are your thoughts regarding this movie? Do you think that it's like it holds up as much as it originally did when you first
definitely. I remember liking this when I first watched it. Didn't watch it again until now, so 2006. Mm-hmm. Like almost, was that 14, 16, 18? I don't know math.
Something.
Yeah, over 15 years later, let's say. And I still enjoyed this. I agree that the director's cut is pretty long. I wish it was 20 minutes less because there are, you know, if you listen to us on Patreon, we went into detail, not full 2 hours and 20 minutes detail, but we went into a lot of detail. I did say there are things that I wish they could have cut out because it was getting a little bit long in the tooth, but I like some of the longer moments because you do get to spend time with these characters. I mentioned it mm-hmm. earlier. I was just surprised that I liked Jet Li's acting. I didn't even think anything of it mm-hmm. when I first watched it. And then when I rewatched the theatrical version, I knew why. It's because we just don't get to really spend time with his emotions.
Okay.
And
it
sucks because the movie's fine. The theatrical cut is fine if you want to watch that, but you are missing out on some of those emotional beats and character moments and just some good acting from Jet Li. Like, he most notably known for being a martial arts actor, so you know, kudos for his physicality, but the guy can act. I think he can really act, so it was just surprising to see that he shows it off well in this movie.
Yeah, and I you definitely see that a lot more because of the director's cut, and I totally agree. And this is probably one of his stronger performances, like, all throughout. Because I'm not as big a Jet Li fan as, you know, a Jackie fan. You know, like, I grew up with Jackie, but, like, I know enough of Jet Li's catalog, and I've never thought of him as a great performer. But, like, every once in a while, he does surprise me with a performance like this. This is probably one of his better outings, outside of Unleashed, but that's different because he doesn't have to do much. I mean, not that he doesn't do much, but like his performance is literally different. Looking like he has to be a puppy dog.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's not easy either. So
it's not, but it's different. You know, this one, he actually has to do multiple performances. Like, he has to be the cocky, arrogant asshole, and then at the end, he has to be a humbled, like, Sifu at the end. So, like, he runs the whole gamut of character in this movie. So that's. It's good, and the story is interesting. Pacing issues aside, it's still a good movie, all in all. Now, I mean, recommendations-wise, yeah, definitely recommend it. Action-wise, it has more missteps than I remembered having. You might hear some of what we mentioned during the action segment of this, but it's not as, like, spectacular as I remember it being, but... And that might be because a combination of us watching so many fucking movies now and being more critical of action scenes. But, like, but that doesn't mean that the action's bad. It's actually still holds up quite a bit. It's just more things that were, like, it's easier to nitpick on versus, like, what we might have initially thought when we just watched it blind.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, I think now that we have better eyes for action, we are starting to see some issues with movies that were just... not untouchable, like, just overall generally entertaining action movies. Now I can go back and see, like, oh, well, I don't like this. But
but, like, for good reason.
Exactly, yeah. That's just us nitpicking because we, you know, we have an eye for this stuff now. Doesn't take away the fact that the movie is very entertaining, and it's easy to see why people like this back then. And it definitely holds up, some glaring issues aside. Definitely still recommend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty unanimous. Ultimately, I have more complaints than you, but I still agree. You go watch a movie if you haven't yet. What the hell's wrong with you? I mean, like, how can you go wrong? The director made Bride of Chucky and Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, I love Freddy versus Jason because they slipped in some Hong Kong style fights in there.
Yeah, I know.
Freddy dropping, like, elbows on top of Jason's head, like, at the end of that movie.
I love it. I love it.